Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. Today, a very special, dare I say, Hope for Your Home edition of the Intentional Living broadcast, because coming up on Saturday, April 21st, less than 3 weeks from now, at Glendale Nazarene Church, Dr. Kevin Lehman and I will be there for our Hope for Your Home, not only hope, but help and humor as well. So we thought we'd bring everybody into the discussion today, because some of the things we'll be talking about there are applying to you and your life and your family. So we thought we'd just open the lines. If you'd like to call, if you have a question about marriage or parenting, we'd love to have you join us at 888-888-1717. Dr. Kevin Lehman, internationally known psychologist and author of many books, The Birth Order, among them, well known, but also what he'll be talking about at the conference is Making Children Mind Without Losing Yours. There's a provocative title. I'm going to be focusing on marriage. We're going to have a great time. Kevin, welcome.
Hey.
Nice to see you again, my friend.
I am looking forward to our time together in Phoenix. That is going to be pure fun.
Yeah.
Glendale, to be exact, I guess.
Huh? Yes, indeed. And Gold Circle's all sold out, and it's going to sell out early. We're going to looking forward to a great time there.
So. Well, you know what we do. I mean, what we do today and what we do that weekend on that Saturday, we could probably do every weekend in every city in America and do it continually. Mm. And I don't think they'd run us out of the place, because I think everybody agrees that there's very – little training for being a parent, and there's very little training for being a married couple. And so that's one of the things you and I enjoy. So we're going to have a good time doing it.
Well, let's draw everybody in, because not everybody can be there, and we want to try to be as practical today as we can to help people. And we know, we talk about intentional living, and my passion is that God has some intentions. I mean, God is an intentional God in a world that's very unintentional. And when we think about God's intention for family, we know it's love and respect. We got plenty of scripture to support all this. Order, discipline, and training is a big part of it. Not only life training, you know, how to raise your kids and how help them grow up, but also spiritual training. And yet today, so many parents are pretty overwhelmed. We got some questions we're going to get to and comments from people on this topic, but young parents especially, I think, get so overwhelmed because they're right in the minutiae. You know, right into the pile of problems they're facing today and not keeping a perspective on where they're trying to end. I mean, where's the end of this game of raising kids? And that's, I think, a part of what you want to communicate, isn't it? To help kids' mind is not only can I get through today, but where is that going to take me tomorrow and down the road?
Well, if you look at parenting as the sea of life, the question I always like to ask parents, Randy, is where's your port of call? Do you know where you're going? You are the captain or the co-captain of the good ship family. And once in a while, you got to throw a life jacket out there. And once in a while, you might have a little mutiny on that good ship. But the point is, do you know where you're going?
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. You have to look at the long term. I've heard you say, you know, we're not raising kids, we're raising adults.
Right.
And so we keep that in mind. You know, I know they're kids, but... You know, we talked to somebody today, a police officer, who has a dog, a trained dog. Well, I got news for you, young parents. Having a puppy and having a child, there are some similarities. And the question is, if you have a puppy, when do you start training that little pup? When he's a year old? Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
So training and repetition, and again, when kids know what's coming, they know what's expected. I think that gives security to kids, Randy.
Yeah, that's good. Are you up for some questions?
Sure.
All right. You're welcome to join us, by the way. If you have a question, you'd like to join Dr. Kevin Lehman and myself right now live, you can call 888-888-1717. But we do have some questions of folks who have left comments on our comment line. And let's take the first one.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I have a grandson who is just turned 17. And he is thoroughly addicted to a video game. And it's not one of the horrible, violent ones, but still, he would rather play that video game than breathe, practically. And it's causing a lot of conflict with he and his mom. So I want to know how you can work with him to make him see that playing this game all the time is not good, and that if he is not allowed to play the game, he shouldn't be angry and become really mean.
Oh, all right. That's Kathleen, a grandma concerned. 17-year-old. I think there's an expectation today with young people that, you know, they can just have access to technology. They can do it anywhere they want. It's as though it dominates life, and the parent feels guilty saying, hey, there's some limits. We're going to shut that thing off. In the old days, it was the television. You know, the old days, let's shut the television off because it was dominating, or it was some other activity. But today, parents, listen, I know you feel overwhelmed because of technology, and now when we see what's going on in the technological world, it can be a real challenge.
Well, a couple things for parents to think about. Would you let your kid have access to Dad's workshop where the DeWalt saw is located in the power drills? And you say, well, no, I wouldn't, because you got to be careful with that. But yet we go out and we purchase for our children what I call the new Goliath. That's the cell phone. And we give it to kids way, way, way too early in life. So let's talk about love. If love doesn't have limits, there can be no love. Mm-hmm. Love and discipline are inseparable. If you love your child, you discipline them. Now, the question was, Kathleen, how do I get my 17-year-old grandson to see? Well, you may not get him to see. He may not see for a long time. But it doesn't mean that that parent doesn't take action and impose limits on such things as video games. And some of them, I know you made a point, this is not a violent game, but some of them are just terrible. And mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine why parents would give kids free rein. But parents are busy. They both are working today in most of our homes. So there's a lot of contributing factors to why things are rough in homes today.
And I would say as a parent, and you're right, Kevin, and the grandparent, we're one step away. You can give advice if it's welcomed, and if it's not, what do? You pray for and encourage your child and your grandchild. But for that parent to say, hey, we got first things first is a great benefit in a home. In other words, homework done. You're getting your things done around the home. You're cooperative. In other words, these are some basic things before that video game comes on. The video game can be a reward for the end of the process, but it can't be the first thing in the process. And today, this is a serious problem. I mean, there are clinics and there's treatment for addiction to such things as video games. And if he doesn't deal with it when he's 17, I fear what could happen when he's 27 or 37. That can be a problem. All right. Hey, you're welcome to join us as well if you have a question. Dr. Kevin Lehman joins me today. Kevin and I will be in conference. So, you know, we got one stop here coming to Phoenix on April 21st at the Glendale Nazarene Church. Selling out very quickly. And we'd love to see you. We're going to start at 8:30 in the morning, open the doors at 8, take a half a day and just really talk about marriage, the power of marriage, God's intention for marriage, and how to raise that responsible adult to make your children mind without losing yours. We'll be taking questions there as well. And so I encourage you to go to theintentionallife.com and check out the info there. All right, got another question? Let's go to the comment line.
I had a question, Randy. I have a 5-year-old. I'm an older mom. I gave birth at 44 years of age. And my husband and I were kind of tired, and we have a very strong-willed little 5-year-old. And my question is, once you have let them kind of get out of control, how do you bring them back? Because we know that we've kind of spoiled him, and now we're just trying to bring him back in, rein him back in, and it's been quite a struggle. And we are frustrated, very frustrated.
Yeah, that's a big question. I mean, once the horse is out of the barn, that's one thing. The other thing is you can relate. You guys can relate to being tired,
yeah.
Can't you?
Yeah, we can. We had a baby at 42 and another one at 48, number 4 and 5. We refer to them as the surprise and the shocker, but been there and done that. But, you know, when you spoil a child, now, parents, listen to what I'm saying. When you spoil a child, you are creating a powerful little buzzard, to use Lehman terminology. The kid figures out early, wait a minute, I'm in charge here. And the whole process inverts. And, you know, action, not words. You can talk yourself blue to a powerful child. But when let your yes be yes, your no be no, make sure husband and wife, older, tired parents, are shoulder to shoulder. If you take that path, and again, it's going to take some time because now we're changing the course of rivers, so to speak, because that kid's personality is pretty well formed, and by your own admission, you have a very strong-willed child. Well, I'd make it a step further. You probably have a powerful mm-hmm. child who always has to win, who has to dominate, who has to control. And think about, we had talked a little earlier about taking the long view of parenthood, and what kind of a husband or what kind of a wife does a person make if they're allowed to have their own way and they're treated permissively? And the answer to that, if I hope you all know the answer, is not a very good one. So The time for training is when they're young, but it's more difficult when a kid hits 5 or 6 years old because the personality is already formed to a large degree.
And if you're tired, you need to get some energy. I mean, you need to put some fuel in the tank. And I think parents who don't get a break from time to time, who don't take some time for themselves, get a perspective. There's nothing worse than losing perspective when you're in the middle of the battle. I mean, this happens not only in parenting, it happens in business.
Everything.
We get so close to whatever it is. We only can see the trees right in front of us. We don't get the big picture of the whole woods. And sometimes just getting above it, getting a perspective – can be very, very helpful. All right. Again, you're welcome to join us if you have a question or comment on marriage or parenting, 888-888-1717. We appreciate your comments and sometimes your stories.
I had been tearing my husband down, and I needed to make some changes because I wasn't going to change him. I needed to change me. I was talking down to him, and I'm a control freak. I did not realize what it was doing to him until one day he said, "I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce." So I tried to start building him up, complimenting him instead of trying to be in control. He didn't know how to take it at first. That was the hardest part, was to get through him knowing that I was serious about making those changes. He started making his own changes and started really building me up, and it just became more of a team rather than one against one. He said a prayer and asked God to give us many more years together.
That's something, you know.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. A great testimony and a reminder that, well, we make life, I think we make marriage and parenting sometimes more difficult than God intended for it to be.
Pretty
a lot
simple.
Of it's common sense.
Yeah.
You can't control people. Love is throughout Scripture. You learn to love. Love is patient and kind, and we see it in 1 Corinthians 13. I tell people maturity is a bit, I mean, just growing up, you get married, you got only grown-ups should get married. I mean, people who are mature. And the reality is none of us have all grown up or mature. And so we get into these spats, these disagreements, and different worldviews and different things, and it creates a problem. What do you say to couples, Kevin? They come in, and like the story we just heard, you see it, but they don't. How do we help people wake up to the fact that if they just make a few tweaks sometimes in a relationship, it can make a big difference?
Well, let's go back to that couple. When that man said, "I don't love you anymore and I want a divorce," I would point out that he probably still loved you when he said that. What he was saying was, "I'm sick and tired of being bombed every day by you in one form or another." Men are so simple, ladies. You have to understand, we think of this man as this pillar of strength and he's tough and he'll take on a cockroach where you might be two rooms away, you know. But, you know, most of us as men are very, very susceptible to the words that you ladies choose to use with us. So this big, burly, strong man melts emotionally when you say kind things about him, especially in front of other people. So you talk about simple. How simple is that, Randy?
Mm-hmm.
Just to point out how much I need you and I want you. Well, take a look at our society today and how many women are drilled with the idea that you don't need a man. You can do your own thing. I'll do it myself, thank you. Well, the smart women will come to their husband and say, "Honey, I really need your help with something. Maybe it's solving a problem." And again, we know that most women are capable of solving their own problems. But when that woman says to her husband, "I need your help," his emotional chest puffs up a little bit. And most of us as men, I mean, if you really love your bride, you want to please her.
Yeah.
But if you try to please her and she always finds fault with it, pretty soon you deduce, wait a minute, this isn't worth it. I'm just going to back off. And if he backs off far enough, then he gets to that precipice in life when he says, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah.
I want out.
Well, you know, the research is very clear. It was John Gottman, who's been the big researcher
Washington.
On marriage
yeah.
and up at, in Washington, that really points out, I think he talks about the four horsemen of the apocalypse that kill marriage. And the first thing on the list is criticism. And I think in marriage so often, this is true of parenting as well, criticism, I think most people, if we're being honest, when we criticize our spouse, our intentions are good. In other words, my intention is, by criticizing you, is to make your life better.
I can do better, too.
But see, we judge, and here's what I've seen, Kevin, as I've worked with couples, we judge ourselves by our intentions. We judge our spouse by their behavior. And so my intention is good, you know, to criticize or to instruct or whatever, but it's being perceived as you don't respect me, you don't love me, you're trying to control me. And there's that cycle. If we don't break that and try to get behind the eyes of our spouse and see life like they do, that's really a process, I think, that gets us into trouble in our marriage.
And it is a process to make that synapse, to get behind that person's eyes and see who they are, because I think we're all guilty, as men, for example, of looking at a situation through our manly eyes. And the key, of course, is to get behind your wife's eyes and see if you can see it from a feminine perspective. And those perspectives are, in fact, very different, for sure.
All right, I've got some calls we're going to get to and some more questions. We're talking marriage today and parenting. If you joined us, today is a special Hope for Your Home edition of Intentional Living. Coming up on Saturday, April 21st, Dr. Kevin Lehman and I will be at the Glendale Nazarene Church. One morning, one stop, one day, one city. And we'd love to have you come and be a part of it. We're going to talk about marriage and parenting, and you can get your tickets. Gold Circle sold out. General admission still available when you go to theintentionallife.com. If you can come and join us, love to do that. But today we wanted to also touch on some of the things we'll be discussing so we can get everybody included.
I wonder how many grandparents, Randy, will come who sort of grew up with you and I.
Yeah.
I know as I travel the country, you know, I get reminded all the time, oh, my goodness, I listen to you and Randy,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. I mean, that'll be fun. We'll probably see some familiar faces there, I'm sure.
There may be some coming saying, I remember, and you gave that advice, and it didn't work.
Yeah. My three kids are in jail. Thanks a lot.
888-888-1717 with your questions. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Illness can be a sign of the consequences of our own stupidity. Those were our worst enemies. Getting close to home now. Because I know for myself, I mean, some of the consequences of not eating healthy or not caring for yourself or not dealing with stress properly or any number of things. Sometimes it can be consequences of choices. Illness can be a sign reminding us that there's sin and there's effects of sin. Illness sometimes is just a result of sin. We just live in a fallen world and it happens. Don't roll through that stop sign. Illness, because what you realize is your dependence on God. We are frail people. Boy, that's an excerpt from this month's teaching. We talk about six signs worth stopping for. You know, you can't get across town without 1,000 signs. Stop here, turn here, don't go here, yield signs. We take all the signs off the roads, we'd be in trouble. And so God has put some signs out for us as well. The scripture's full of them. I give six signs that are worth stopping and considering in your life that could be transformational. This month, members, watch for it. It's coming to you, probably already there, should be, at this point in the month. And if you are not a member, your monthly support allows the Intentional Living Ministry, our center, and our outreach to continue. Thank you for your support. Come and join us by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate. Dr. Kevin Lehman is here. We're talking about Hope for Your Home. That's the name of our conference coming up. You know, one day, one morning, one stop, one city, one church. And there's still room for you. And it's going to be at Glendale Nazarene Church by going to theintentionallife.com. All right, let me get a couple. We got some callers standing by. Kevin, we got Crystal on the line in Michigan. Hey, Crystal.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. Doing well. What's your question for us today?
I am recently married. Well, about to be married. And I have three young kids. Three young boys. Two of them are my stepsons, and one is my own with my husband. And my boys are 6, 4, and 1.5. And I just had a couple questions about all of my children, especially the youngest, who are very strong-willed. My youngest especially. I feel like sometimes maybe I'm not. It's kind of hard with a one-year-old. You don't know where, for me personally, I guess, just at what point, you know, do you let them have rein in their life or just deal with them? Like today at the doctor's office, he was running all around and I couldn't get him to sit on my lap. And also my six-year-old, along with the video games thing, he absolutely loves them. And we do limit his time with them, but I've had a lot more concerns about, because he'll come up to me and I'll tell him, you know, he says he wants to play on his game. I said, why don't you go spend some time with his brothers, because he was sad because his brothers didn't want to play with him. And I told him, I'm like, well, you've been playing on your game a lot. And he's like, I just want to play my game all the time.
Are you feeling pretty overwhelmed, Crystal?
A lot sometimes.
Yeah, a lot.
Really,
yeah. Well, I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice, too. I think the, you know, what do you do? You got a 6, a 4, a 1. You got a blended family, or you're trying to make it. And I think perspective is a huge, I mean, from our perspective, Kevin, we're looking back and raising kids. We got grandkids now. I can remember when we were talking about this stuff when we were in the middle of it. At least I can. I can think, wow, that, you know, we're facing it today. You look back and it's easy to say, well, these are the best years of your life.
Yeah.
But you got to keep perspective that the running around is what, let's face it, that's what one-year-old boys do. I mean, toddlers do. They run around. That's what their assignment is in life, yeah. In a sense. Your assignment, I guess, as a parent is to say, how do I respond to that in a healthy way?
Well, perspective-wise, these kids will be at each other's wedding someday, okay? Let's start with that. The 6-year-old and the 4-year-old, I mean, I'll be their advocate. Why would I want to play with the thing, the 1-year-old? I mean, he's in the way. So you've got some natural competition there with the two older boys and the younger one. But like in the doctor's office or at the dinner table, I think it's really important to make sure when you say, well, I can't make him stop running around. Well, the reality is you can. You can pick him up and put him on your lap, hold him tight. And he can make a fool of himself. He can kick and scream, which will cause you embarrassment. But if you hold on to him long enough, he will settle down. And that's the training aspect. I always tell young parents with kids a year, year and a half, they're in the high chair at the dinner table, make sure they stay in that chair until their dinner is over. Does that mean they have to stay there until everybody's done? No. They're little kids. They have short attention spans. But what I'm saying is you don't pass the child around, which I think negates the training you're trying to make. So you have to take the long perspective here. Realize that the kids have very little social interest in anybody else other than themselves. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, especially with that 6-year-old and 4-year-old, you're going to say words to them. You're going to say things like, Mommy is very unhappy with what's happening here. Don't be afraid to tell them that. That's good discipline. That rakes hot coals over kids, quite frankly. With your little one, don't try to reason with them and don't try to explain things. Pick them up, remove them, be action-oriented as you can, and don't kill them with an O word, because most of us as young parents use no way too much.
We're talking marriage and parenting today. Dr. Kevin Lehman has joined me. I tell you what, we're going to continue. We're having so much fun. We're going to stay here in the studio and record for a program that will air in a few weeks. So you're welcome to still join us if you have a question on marriage or parenting at 888-888-1717. Love to have you join in. Before we wrap up, though, Kevin, quickly, we only got a minute. What's new in your world?
Oh, wow. New tomorrow morning, I'll be up in Phoenix. We have Lehman Academy of Excellence out on Power Road in Mesa. I'm doing a breakfast. Anybody in the church workabees, pastors, anybody who works in the church, welcome to come. Free breakfast, 8 to 9, South Power Road, 3761 South Power. And then that night at 6 o'clock, we have an open house at Lehman Academy. Same address. If you want to check us out, we're a charter school that puts authority, Randy, in the classroom teacher's hand. In fact, the book Making Children Mind is sort of a template for what we do at Lehman Academy.
We'll have to have you sometime. We just talk about education, about what you've learned through the academies that have been developed. So we appreciate what you're doing to help families.
Thank you, Randy.
All right. We're going to stay here in the studio, as I mentioned, continue to talk about marriage and parenting, and then we'll look forward together to be seeing many of you at the upcoming Hope for Your Home conference. Not only hope, but a lot of humor and help coming to the Glendale Nazarene Church. It's Saturday, April 21st. And tickets can be had today. All the proceeds going to help us further the mission and ministry that God has raised up through Intentional Living and Family Life Radio by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And I do want to say thank you to those of you who are praying for and supporting this ministry. God has raised this ministry up to make a difference in this day and age for one purpose, and that's to help you experience through living intentionally what you believe. Listen, today, everybody is trying to be intentional toward you, you know, trying to move you in certain directions with your thinking and your beliefs. My question is, if you're a follower of Christ, are you being intentional in moving your life in the direction that He has for you? That's what intentional living is all about. If you'd like to join in the discussion again, you're welcome to call 888-888-1717. And I'll be back tomorrow. We'll have more on intentional living as we help you live an intentional life in Christ. And we're going to talk about adult children and some of the challenges you face with adult children in your home, in your life. So we'll see you tomorrow here at Intentional Living.